Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Diane Berylson, president and founder of the International Women's Flag Football Association, along with my co-host, Nance Learns. And, Nance, are you there? And we're going to have on tonight's show a bunch of women on our committee. We're going to have Allison Woods, Georgia Lewis, Hillary Sinclair, and Tamlin Walker. And that's because we all just recently came back alive from the 20th annual Kelly McGillis Classic International Women's and Girls Flag Football Championship and Hyatt World Challenge game. So for the next hour and a half, we're going to be on air with IWFA, which is every third Thursday from 9 to 10:30. And then if the show is really exciting, we get to extend ourselves. So for those of you who are listening, you're welcome to go onto our website to join us. You can do it one of two ways. You can join us in the chat room, and there's instructions. There's a link right on the homepage. It says IWFA Radio. Just click, and you will see it says click to get on tonight's radio show. You just click, and then you can register on the Blog Talk Radio and join us via the chat room. Or you can simply phone, and that number is, let me see, I have to get that phone number for you. Anyway, okay, as I'm looking, for the phone number. Nance, are you, I'm sorry?
I actually have a guest call-in number if you'd like.
What is that phone number there?
347-826-7278.
Okay, that's right. 347-826-7278. Thanks so much. And BJ is not with us this evening. We're going to have Nancy with us, and we're excited because we're working together for the first time. So we're just going to have to make a great show together. But now our guest tonight, we were going to have a nice round-the-table discussion about the Kelly McGillis Classic, which was February 6th to the 14th. And so a few of us are still working on the event, closing it up, but it officially ended on this past Monday. So I'm going to ask for my guests, I'm going to first do a roll call. So I'm going to call your names and just tell me if you're on the line with us. Nance Werns, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Allison Woods, are you on the air with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okie doke. Georgia and Lewis. Okay. Hillary Sinclair.
I'm here.
Okay. And Tamlin Walker. Okay. So we're waiting for Tamlin and Georgia. Oh, Tamlin, are you there, Tamlin?
No, this is Mia.
Okay, Mia. So as we wait for our guests to arrive, by the way, all of you women are on our item site committee. Let me just start and just say that let's talk about this Kelly McGillis Classic, the 20th. It's the last one that is going to be hosted for all these years. It has been hosted in the city of Key West, Florida. And this year, it will be the last time Key West will host it. Our intentions now are to move it around like the Olympics to other cities. In February, so it needs to be a nice, warm climate. And so for 20 years, all these teams and players have been coming to Key West. Did any of you ladies catch in our tournament program? We had actually listed names of all the teams for all these years. Did anybody catch that?
Yeah,
I
saw it, Diane.
Yes or no? Oh, you score
yes.
It? Okay. Uh-huh. So wasn't it, you know, I put that that piece together, and I was amazed. I mean, it took two pages for us to include all the names of the teams. I had forgotten way back when those teams that used to attend this tournament. So what do you think? Nance, I'm gonna ask you one at a time. Nance, what do you think about the Key West tournament? How was it for you?
Well, obviously, you know, I love the tournament. I've been there before, and we had some pretty cool weather this time, at least some of the days. But I think that just kind of made it football weather, and it was a good group of teams. I thought the competition was just as I expected it to be, very competitive. I had the honor of participating with the Mexico women on their team, and I tell you what, those linemen, I was playing the line, and I'm thinking specifically about the Chicago team. Those girls are as tough as any tackle line that I ever dealt with the
Thank
Kansas
you.
City Storm. So
now,
the caliber of play was great.
Thank you for the holler for Chicago. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you guys are tough.
Okay, so we got Mia on the line. Okay, you know what? Wait a second. Let's back up a second. Nance, you play tackle. You're saying that action on the in the flag football line was just as tough as the tackle line?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay. And how was it playing with those Mexicans? Was there a language barrier?
Yeah, there was. I don't speak Spanish, but they were very accommodating, and we adopted some hand signals, and so I was able to get the play without revealing the you know, without them having to verbally say that in case the opponent, you know, someone on the opposing team knew Spanish. But I tell you what, Diane, it was a really neat experience, and it really gave a flavor for the international aspect of the tournament during the game that the Mexico women played against the Montreal team. And the Montreal women, of course, were speaking French, and the Mexico women were speaking Spanish, and then it was me. And so it
and then
really,
there was you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So me and the refs, we were the only ones that were speaking English. So it was a pretty neat experience, and it kind of you know, that's something that I've never had before, to have the multilingual on the captain field at the same time. In fact, I've told this story a couple of different times during that that week, Diane. I'm not sure if you realize this, but at one point during that game, I was on defense, and there was a penalty against the Canadian team. And so the referees marked off the yardage and put the ball down, and it just happened to rest very near where the Canadians had set their huddle, their offensive huddle. Okay. They had not paid attention to the penalty and the yardage markup. And so it was perfectly legal for me as a defender to go right up to that the line where the ball was. And so I was standing right outside the huddle of the Montreal team, and they were calling their play, and I still had no idea what the play was going to be.
You know, I got to just say that we got a comment on our chat room. Julie Perrette, she's one of the Canadians. She affirms that, listen, the Canadians, they do speak English, but, you don't get to hear that when the teams play, and you hear their languages. They talk in their native tongue. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Nance, because, we also have IWFA has tournaments over in Scandinavia, and they don't talk English over there. They'll talk their native tongue. But, let me that was an interesting aspect that you shared with us. And let me ask also, in our group here, Allison, now you played with the Jersey team. I think you played with the Mexicans, didn't you?
Yes, we played against Mexico, and actually one of our linemen, she spoke very little English, and she spoke a lot of Spanish. And we went to go play the Mexicans, and someone on our team said, well, she'll be able to understand all the plays. And I said, you're missing the point. She can't actually translate so that we understand them. So,
right.
We thought we might have an advantage, but she spoke so little English, so we didn't actually pick up any advantage on learning any of the plays.
Okay.
So, but it was, it was great.
Yeah.
There's a universal language of sportsmanship that everyone at the tournament shared.
Good point, Allison. Now, listen, what was it like, this was the first time you played in the IWFA tournament. You played in P-Town, but was there a difference with this Key West event?
Well, this, of course, was much bigger and much longer. So, playing football over 4 days, we had a very, very small team, so it definitely took a toll, And it was very different. Both were great experiences, P-Town, for a Northeast team to play in February, it was very difficult. We're playing against, when you play against Southern teams, they've been practicing, we played against the Orlando Blue Wave, and they said they've been practicing since September, and they play consistently, and we, came down there, and, we hadn't thrown or played football, or even thrown a football since November. We've had a couple of feet of snow on the ground, the indoor facilities are all booked or way, way, way expensive. So, we went down there and we were really surprised how well we were able to compete. The first day was rough, but after the first day, we kind of got our feet under us and, got our skills back. But I think a lot of us, too, just not being in football shape by the end of the tournament, we were all really, really kind of hurting.
Well, now, you guys managed very well. You made it into the championship game, obviously. That goes to show you that you survived, but I want to turn this over now to you were lucky because of the size of your team was very small. But Nia came from Chicago with a huge team. I think they filled up the. Was it Nia? What did you have? 21 on your roster when you first started?
Yeah, we had 21 on the roster, but we lost a couple of people to work and other commitments, so we ended up playing with 16 actual roster players.
Okay, all right. So the 16, but that's almost double the size of New Jersey. What do you think, Nia, you've been down to this Key West tournament. Is there anything, any difference in the flavor or the games? Because there were some teams from the past, there was some, it being the last in Key West. Was there any difference or was it the same? What did you think about the event?
Well, I was personally pretty happy with the seeding process. I have to say in the past that our team in particular has felt like we've been in a division that's been too high for us and we haven't really been able to compete. But I know that the girls felt this year that it was very competitive for us. It definitely wasn't easy, but it wasn't so hard that we became frustrated. So I was personally pretty happy with that, and I know that a lot of girls have echoed the same sentiment to me. And we also, knowing that it was the last year at Key West, we all felt really nostalgic because we have attended so many years that we were trying to soak in not only the tournament, but, you know, Key West itself.
Well, I'm glad you said you appreciated the seating. I should give a little background about that seating because it was very creative. First of all, we only had the two fields, and we had several divisions. And in years past, the worst thing that can happen to any team is if you're stuck in a division where you're the underdog, because then you get slaughtered. And so there was only a few teams that we were unsure of, and they got a separation game. Once we saw which way they were going, then we had two seed games, and then we placed into playoff position in their proper divisions. And there was something new we did this year that I was really happy with, and that is we had the administrative power to bring up or bring down any team. You know, sometimes in your tournament play, you may have a lucky game or a really poor game. And that's not to say that's the exact level of play that you should be on. So I liked that power, and it was obvious. There was the Alexander Guesthouse Loose women's team. They were originally placed in that Division II, and just before the playoffs, we decided let's bring them down to Division III. So I think that made it a better competition for those teams. You know, Hillary, you were on that. You were on the Loose Women's Guest House. What was that feeling like? Give us an inside emotional description, if you could.
It was a great team to play for. There was a great group of girls this year. It was kind of interesting at first because none of us had ever played together before. Like there would be three from one place and two from another. Definitely by the last game, we were starting to rock and roll and really get things working, and just a really great group to play with.
Well, but I mean, your scores, I mean, you had the first game Thursday morning against Houston, TNL, 42-0.
Yeah.
So that didn't bother you?
It was hard, but it wasn't. Everybody's spirits were still really high, and we just figured we'd give it our best and see what happened.
Yeah, but you've been a Loose Woman before, and that's the philosophy of the Loose Women. You don't care if you win or lose; you're just out there to play, and the camaraderie is exceptional. You had a bunch of new players out there, though. How about those three women from North Carolina? What were their names? What were their names again?
I think it was Shanta and Teresa and Jackie.
Right. They were Loose Women for the first time. How were they reacting to the team?
It went great. Like, they did a really good job. Jackie and Teresa stepped in as our tight ends, and they did really great. Cindy was our quarterback, and they made a lot of great catches. And Shanta did very well as well. She played quarterback for a bit, too, and she did a great job.
Okay. By the way, for anyone out there listening, if you're behind your computer, we have the chat room that's going. I'm reading and I'm answering questions. Also, if you can get a chance to go on our website, you can see the scores of the games. And we have almost all the information up on the website, like the divisions, the breakdown, the final ranking, MVPs, and all-star players. That's up on IWFSA.com, and then just click on the Kelly McGillis Classic. Let's see. I wonder if we heard from four of you, Nance, Allison, Mia, and Hillary. Is Tamlin on the line with us? Tamlin or Georgian? All right. I just want to make sure that I'm not excluding anyone. So then I have... I just want to include everybody in on the conversation. On the chat room, I want to read one of our Quebecans didn't understand the scheduling, and I'm going to I'll explain it maybe in a different way. What we wanted to do was separate teams into the proper divisions, and some of the teams were very obvious that they were highly competitive or they were beginners. The girls were easy. By the way, we had eight girls teams, and that was just divided by age groups, and it was a very good separation naturally because the younger girls were not as good as the older girls. Anyway, as far as the women were concerned, the Division 1, 2, and 3, some teams were very highly competitive, and we knew that, and there was no question. But the ones in the middle were kind of, we didn't know. First of all, the loose women's team, some years they're very strong, some years they're not so strong. So they had their game. We weren't so sure about Blue Wave A, how they would compare against if they had a chance to go in that higher division. So we pitted them against Tampa Lethal Weapon. Tampa happens to be one of the highly competitive teams for all these years. So we knew that, so that was in question. Then we had the game against the Montreal Warriors and the Mexicans. Now, Mexico usually does very well in the tournament. Their coach, Eduardo Barús, I don't know what he does, but Nance, maybe you can tell us when you get back on what kind of a coach he is. But he many times brings championship teams. So we had to pit them against the Montreal Warriors. Warriors were thought to be a highly competitive team, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then the other separation game was the Washington, D.C. Phantoms versus Rhode Island Hurricanes. So in that separation round, then we could proceed into divisions, preset into divisions, because then the administration, that was me, had the authority to, after those two seed games, to bring up or down any teams and then fit, for sure, the final teams into their divisions. And that was the strategy, and it explained the team's game schedule. But I'll tell you one thing, though. One thing that I really was not happy about, that was after the first two seed games, then the teams in each division, if there was five or four teams, they were ranked from 1 to 4, 1 to 5. And as it turned out, there were some of the divisions that ended up playing the same team. And that was a rough one. And I'll just say a few more words, and then I'd like to hear opinions from the other players. You know, it was tempting to switch teams so that the games would offer different competition, you know, so you wouldn't have to play the same team twice. However, what we wanted for the tournament was to end up with the top teams for that championship. And that finally was the reason why we kept it the way 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. So anybody want to share their opinion about that situation? Because, you know, you've already played one team. You'd like to play a different team. Mia from Chicago, how do you feel about that?
Well, as you know, we played Mexico women in our division round, and then we saw them right away at playoffs. And we lost to them both times, which was a little frustrating. But honestly, I think despite the fact that we did see them twice and it seemed unfair in some ways, it also gave us a little extra fuel to go out there, and we really prepared for them that second game. Unfortunately, we didn't win against them again. But we think it would have been better if we had not played them again. But as I've explained to the girls, there only being four teams in our division, it's kind of inevitable to see the same team more than once, especially when you're trying to get a certain number of games for each team. So although we were a little bit frustrated, it had its positives, and we're still pretty happy with the tournament regardless.
You know, too, though, in that situation, that really proves the better teams. You know, psychologically, yeah, it would be depressing to go against a team that beat you. But, you know, it would be a real test of good sportsmanship, I think, and athleticism to eagerly go out there and just try to do a better job.
We really did, Diane. We even came up with a song and everything for our second game. We were really fired up. And I know one of my girls, Beast, was especially eager to go out there and play against them and show them that she was better than what she had shown them the first game. And I really liked seeing that from the girls. So I was pretty happy in that sense that the girls, you know, didn't let the first loss beat them up. They just really went out there and tried even harder.
Yeah, yeah. So, Nance, what do you think that schedule or that scenario? Because you were on that Mexican team.
You know, I don't know. I think that I think it's tough. You know, you don't know what. I know that you had they had some history with the tournament and the types of teams that they brought, but honestly, you know, things vary from year to year. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. So, you know, I think that the flexibility that you showed during the tournament was great, and it just you know, strengthened the you know, the process might have been a little confusing, but I think it strengthened the results in the end.
Okay. Anybody else want to sound in? Anybody else want to make a comment about
the
schedule?
Yeah, Diane, I'm really glad that you explained that, because we were kind of like, you know, we wound up playing Mexico twice and Blue Wave twice. And I think we played both teams better the second time we played them.
Okay.
And we weren't really, you know, and we didn't get to see the loose women play. But when you come all down to it, I think it worked out exactly the way it should. I think we were the second best team. You know, I'd like to say we were the best team, but truthfully, Blue Wave was the best team down there in our division, and I think we were the second best team. So it did turn out like the way you were saying. We would have liked to have gotten to play from different people, but I think you're right. It worked out the way it should.
Okay. I just want to share with our listeners, Julie Perrault. I don't know. You know what, Julie from the Montreal Warriors is in our chat room. I can't pronounce her last name. Sorry, Julie. But anyway, she says that they've been down to Key West in the past, and it's always been that they play a round robin and get seeded from those games, and they were just wondering why it was different this year and whether it would be like that in the future. You know what's happened the last 2 years that's made a change with this Key West tournament is the girls. Because the girls, most of them can only play Saturday, Sunday. And so that kills our schedule. You know, the women, and that's the hardship of including girls, is that you have to think about their school. You know, the parents are not going to be so eager to let them get off like the women. The women can take off for the vacation. But I think that answers the question. That's what's happened, Julie, the last few years of the change. And also field space. So, yeah, combine the two, we struggle. And you know what? I think it's a blessing that we moved this tournament from Key West to another city. You know, Key West is a great place to go to, but, you know, it's a tourist town, and it like some other municipalities where they have more green space, we're limited, highly limited. And, you know, so that answers that question. But I just have to say that all in all, my first thoughts about this tournament now that it's over is that those girls, those little girls, man, they stole the show. I mean, does anybody want to disagree with me? Did you ladies see those little girls play flag football? And you have to have seen that little Becca, that City View trolley girl. It was the quarterback. She was, I think, she was not 4 feet. and she took the ball and she ran left, she ran back 20 yards, she ran right, and the whole entire team was the defense was trying to grab her flags and they couldn't touch her, and she scored. How many times doing that? How many of you guys saw that little episode? She did it quite often.
Boy, I didn't see that, but yeah. I bet that was a lot of fun.
Oh, Nance, you didn't see that? How about, let me see. Hillary, didn't you see the, you saw the little girls play. Hillary, you and your dad were helping to coach the girls' night out, Cougars.
Yeah.
During
the
tournament.
I think we did see her play, and my dad asked me and Aaron Clark to help out and help coach the team for the second game, so we got to see that. That was good.
Okay, so do you agree that the little girls stole the show, or maybe I'm over-exaggerating?
No, she's quite the little athlete.
Okay. You know, what I did this year was I go around to the I met with the superintendent of the school board, and I asked if we could include the girls in our tournament. It would be for the second year. We have a program where the girls in the schools pay nothing. IWSSA and in conjunction with, combined with local businesses, we afford these girls the equipment, the registration fee, so that schools and the girls pay nothing. So it was the second year that we had this implemented, and it was so successful. We had, I myself started four brand new teams. Now, the problem was tournament time, so I started to coach four teams. And what I envisioned was just simply asking the women if they could take the girls for the tournament games. Now, Hillary, we got your dad involved, and it turns out, though, one of the parents stepped up, and one of the coaches for the phys ed for one of the schools stepped up, and I ended up mostly with the girls' night out. But what do you think about that? You think it's fair for the girls? It's giving them a new coach tournament. Do you think it's not fair to them? It's okay for them to treat them like that?
I think it was a little hard at first because they weren't used to them, and of course we'd never met them before. And my dad, he didn't know any of their plays or their positions, so there was a bit of confusion in the first game. But after a while, I think they started to get the hang of it and get into the game. And
okay, all right. And my feelings is that they could take it. You know, they're there to play. There was one year I coached the girls' team. We were getting clobbered. I think it was 8-9 touchdowns to nothing. And at the end of the game, one of my girls asked Coach who won the game. You know, so I think when they're at that age, they really don't know much of what's going on.
Yeah.
And they don't even know if they're winning or losing, you know. So that's been pretty interesting. But
they asked us at the end of the games, did we win?
Yeah.
So,
they
have
to do that too. Okay, so Julie, I'm just reading a few comments on the chat board. Julie is saying she's going to miss Key West. But listen, it can come back to Key West. But we need to share this event. This Kelly McGillis Classic is our largest tournament. You know, in 2001, we had 49 teams from seven different countries. And we still have those countries belonging to the IWSSA. I think it's nice, though, when other cities get the chance to host such a prestigious event. For me personally, it gives me time then to take the sport to the next level, and that's our committee members here, Tamlin, Allison, Georgia, Mia, Hillary, Nance. You know, we want to professionalize the sport, and for me personally, this it takes about 3 months, 4 months, to produce this event. It's an awful lot of work, and I it's bittersweet. It is sad for me to see it go in Key West, but I'm excited to take the sport to a new level. So, so ladies, have you any cities that you think would make great locations for the for the 21st Kelly McGillis Classic?
Well, you know, Diana, I've always said that if you're going to keep it in that same time slot, you know, you obviously have to have it someplace south. And I would still look to some sort of a destination city like Key West, where there are other attractions to the city and where the flights and transportation to the city is fairly easy. And I think you should look to, you know, places like maybe Orlando if you want to stay in the Florida area, because it's fairly easy to get in and out of Orlando from a flight perspective, certainly. Las Vegas is another place that time of year can be a good destination city with, you know, alternate entertainment venues.
New Orleans.
But don't you think New Orleans will be a little chilly at that time, February?
Well, that depends on what your classification of chilly is. It was funny because, Nancy, you said before that Florida was good football weather. You know, here in the Northeast, good football weather in November is 40 degrees. It's 45, you know. That's good football weather.
Okay, but listen, I guess it could be in New Orleans, but you know, too, it could be in Mexico. It could be in Panama. Yeah. Mia was suggesting to me during the tournament that it go to Panama. And those are nice, warm places. And, you know, very cheap to travel to. So maybe do you think it's so important that it stays in the U.S.?
No, but I'd vote for Mexico. That's a little bit easier, I think, to get to, you know, if it was in a touristy area, you know.
Yeah. So we'll see. We have a couple of cities of vying. We have a group from Orlando, Tampa, Cocoa Beach. And there was, you know what, there were some other organizations starting to ask questions. I got a question for you ladies. I'm interested in this. Now, you know, we want to open up this event to other cities, other groups, but do you think we should allow this tournament to be hosted by another association? You know, USFCO is a... It's got to stay IWFFA, right? Within our own?
I think so.
Yeah. Nance, what do you think?
Well, you know, you spent 20 years building this brand, and what people have come to understand what to expect, and to loosen that restriction and let someone else come in, I think that's doing a disservice and devaluing the brand that you've worked so hard to establish. So I think that, you know, the IWFA has, you know, worked hard establishing that rule set that I think the teams really embrace, and they a lot of Parks and Rec and other leagues around the country don't use that tool set, and they're the rule set. And that's part of the IWFFA. I think that's what people look for in this tournament. So I wouldn't change, change what makes you different and unique and desirable.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have a tournament here in New Jersey in May, and we were talking to a lot of teams there, and they're like, well, it's going to be an IWFFA tournament. And I go, absolutely. And they go, okay, because they get invited. A lot of teams that were there get invited to other tournaments, and they don't want to play in other tournaments other than the IWFFA because it's a crapshoot what you're going to get, you know. The refs that we have, the quality of play, the quality of teams, all of it, you know, the teams that participated in Key West, they're looking for IWFFA tournaments because they know what to expect. And when other organizations ask them, a lot of times they're disappointed in what they sign up for. So I think it's important that it stays IWFFA.
You know, that's an interesting point you made. And I spoke with one of the teams who also traveled to USFCL tournament, and the feel was very different. you know, in those games, you go there to play, and then you walk off the field. That's it, you know. With IWFFA, you know, social events are very much a part of it. I think the camaraderie is very much a part of it. But, you know, I want to make this point clear, and that is that the IWFFA is not just a sports organization. We are a women's movement. I mean, we're an organization run by women for women, and you could feel it. I mean, am I right or wrong? I mean, can you or can you not feel the difference with our IWFFA tournaments and other tournaments?
Well, I've only played in IWFFA tournaments, but I will tell you that we have become friends with Rhode Island. We've, you know, we're hanging out talking to Lethal Weapon. You know, there's that camaraderie off the field. It's like, you know, you play hard on the field and you leave it on the field and you go out and you're great friends and you talk about the game afterwards. And I've always, enjoyed that about sports, you know, that I can, you know, play my hardest against you. But then afterwards we have respect for one another as athletes and we share something. And I'd hate to lose that.
Yeah. But, you know, now for 2011, this year we've added tournaments like in Flemington, New Jersey, in Chicago, Illinois, in Mexico City, Canada. We've added tournaments because our goal is to have regional tournaments around the U.S. to make it easy and cheap for local teams to compete. And I wonder how we're going to try to keep the flavor of the IWFFA as we have for all these years. You know, that's, I guess, listening to you ladies, and we're going to, it's pretty interesting. And also, we're going to send out a lot of surveys. We get a lot of information from our IWFFA surveys. It gives us a lot of feedback from the players directly. And they're very thoughtful, and I'm very impressed with the answers that women share with us, and that's one of the things that we're doing this year. You know, we have the promotional tour, and we have these regional tournaments, and that's to step up to help organize the flag football, women's flag football, so we can professionalize it. So, but Mia, I wonder, Mia, are you still there? Okay, we lost Mia, but she's going to be our contact. Her team is going to be the hosting team for that tournament in Chicago at the end of June. That's going to be nice, right smack in the middle of the U.S. And the benefit of having the regional tournament there is that we're going to reach those teams in the Midwest. Now, Nance, you are very close to that area, aren't you? Where do you live again?
I'm in Kansas City.
Okay, Kansas City. So you're not far from Chicago then. So, and you're also a tackle player. So tell me now, is there any way that we could lasso you into flag football now, or you're still a true tackle player, or are you going to continue with both?
I think it's both. I think that they're two different sports. I think you and I talked about that a little bit last week. Is they're really two different sports. I don't know if you want to think of them as like softball, baseball, or something. They certainly complement. But you know, a lot of the skill is different, and you know, the plays are different because it's 8-man versus 11-man, you just bring different things to it. So I wouldn't want to give up either.
Okay. So we'll let you have both. You can have your cake and eat it too. Now listen, I'm going to read from. By the way, I got to just tell you, if someone gave me a birthday card. Years ago, there was a picture of this woman. Her name was Edith, and she was holding a cake. And it said, it's your birthday. You can have your birthday cake and Edith, too, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, Julie says from Montreal, We had asked the question about, do you like the IWFA tournaments? And she says, of course I do. It was the eighth time I was coming to Key West. She started with the Quebec Storm. She thinks it's a great organization, great competition. Well, that's great to, that's really great to hear, man. And, you know, for all the work that I personally have put into this organization, what I'm trying to do is to hand it off, you know, and before it gets handed off, we've got to have that strong organization, that strong structure. So, but it definitely should always be an organization run by women for women. And, all right, listen. What about those social events? Did you guys get to hear our comedian? Oh, my goodness. What was her name again? Now I'm so tired. What was her name, our comedian?
Jenny.
Jenny McNulty. Jenny, Nance, you were, let's see, Allison and Nance. I don't know if
yeah.
Mia saw the comedy show. Did you enjoy her comedy?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was great.
She
was great. I got her on her mailing list. If she's in the Northeast, I'd go see her again.
Okay, you know, though, she made a joke about the LFL. And, oh, that was bad. Because that one of the teams has one or two LFL players. And she had to apologize. She hurt their feelings, and they were real sensitive about it. That was the only thing that I thought was interesting.
That's all right. I didn't catch it, but she didn't do it at the comedy show. I think she did it at the
opening ceremony
when everyone was signing in. Yeah, but you know that's part of being a comedian. I think Kathy Griffith, you know, she pisses off half the population all the time. So, you know. Never
yeah.
know mind. You can't take a comedian. They're just making a joke. And if you can't take a joke, well.
Well, yeah. I agree. But she was a great comedy act, and that Saturday night was great. I heard I was home resting. I try not to go to the social events, although I did do the Super Bowl. I did the arm wrestle and that toilet relay race. Now, ladies, do you have any idea what that toilet relay race is about?
Yeah, I was helping you with that.
Man, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's right. You were parking your car, and then we started that race. Okay, and listen, Hillary was
yep.
on that. Hillary, you got to just speak a little louder. Listen, I want to explain to our audience what this toilet relay race is. You take four runners on a team, and one on each corner of a city block, and the first one has a dollar bill. And you say, go. Everybody runs down the block at the corner, hands the dollar bill to their teammate. They, in turn, run to the corner, hands the dollar bill to their player. The third runner runs into the store, buys a roll of toilet paper, gets the receipt exact change, runs out of the store, and hands it to the fourth person. But I got to tell you, Hillary and Nance, remember that guy, Zach, that loner? He was the only one on his team. He didn't have anybody else but himself.
Yep.
So poor Zach had to run all the way around the block into the store, and what a good sport he was. We let the guys join us. That was just really, really fun. So was there any other – oh, but how was that cowboy, that cowboy bull
no.
ride? Was that fun?
Yep.
Cowboy Bill, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Everything the whole week was a lot of fun.
Well, give us a little more detail. I mean, like, I heard there were, how many teams? At least 12?
I don't think we should
20?
Talk about all the events on the radio. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Okay, all right. Okay, moving along. Oh, we got a new person on the chat. We've got Sadia. She's with the Montreal Warriors team. I want to say, listen, those talk about the schedule. You know, I thought their first game, these Montreal Warriors, I was a little nervous. You know, normally years past, they're very good. And not just the Montreal Warriors. Who else is very good? The Montreal Rebels, okay? And they lost their first game, and they didn't look so good. As a matter of fact, when they were ranked to play in the playoffs, I think they were fourth or fifth, but they came back. So I wonder, I guess maybe Sadia can't join us on the phone line, but she's on the chat room. Sadia, if you're listening, I hope you could give us a little hint. What's your secret to success? They ended up making it to the championship game, and it was just by one touchdown. So that was exciting for us. She's the kind of quarterback. You know, those Canadians, they 7-on-7 is their typical flag football game. And, you know, when you use those rules, everybody's got to catch. Everybody's fast to be highly competitive. And the quarterback has to have a really good arm. You know, with our rules in IWFFA, with the running plays, you could do handoffs, you could do pitches. You can have a QB and get away with not having such a great arm. And so those Canadians, they bring that talent with them, you know, strong arm on the QB, great receivers. Also, though, they have had that rush on the kick, you know, whether it's a punt or a field goal. Those Canadians, they have that rush going for all these years. Did anybody catch their center snap that ball? I think it must have been a good 10, 15 yards. Anybody see that distance? Nance, I guess no?
No.
Okay. Allison, I guess no?
No, we did a chains quite a bit, and we tried to catch as many games as we could, but, there was a lot going on that week. So.
Yeah, that too. Mia, were you, did you catch the Canadians playing? Okay, you know, and then I get a little note here in the chat room. The Canadians actually won their first game. Okay, so what anyone should do is just take a look at our website, and there's the scores of all the games, and you can see. Now I'm going to take a look as I'm talking. And I could see that the Canadians, okay, they won. In their playoff game, though, first round, they beat the Washington, D.C. They weren't so strong this year. And that's Fred Chapman, who coaches that team. I think that particular team had a hard time because the players were changing. That's another thing. When we register these teams, we kind of have a little edge in knowing a little bit if the team will be successful or not. And that is when they register their players, if they're all together, you know, have already been decided, they know who's coming down, that's a great help. Those teams, you know, who are undecisive, their rosters are incomplete, you know that they're going to have a hard time. So I think that was true for a lot of the teams. Something happened this year. There was a lot of change in players, and maybe it's the economy or the getting time off from work, but I think the economy is going to have something of an effect in our tournaments. Wouldn't you say, ladies?
Absolutely.
I think we see it the last 2 years already, Diane.
Yeah, and, you know, we had we had such a bad winter up here in New Jersey that we had at least one player who, in the end, couldn't take off from work because they had missed so much work because of the snow.
Yeah.
You know, so we just had a really hard winter up here, and it affected our team. It affected being able to practice. It affected, people getting time off from work, having enough money to come down. So, you know, we got rocked by the winter.
Yeah, that's the case. And, you know, Nance, you're right, though. The last 3 years, we talked about that, that the economy also, you could tell, too, not in the numbers of teams coming down, but just like if they buy a tournament T-shirt or these extra souvenirs, you know, everyone's getting tight around the wallet. And so, I don't know, so then I guess us, IWFA, offering tournaments around across the United States would be a good thing, because making these tournaments closer to these teams certainly, and one-day events, by the way, New Jersey, that's an experiment for us. That's a one-day competition. That's going to be interesting. I'm curious how many teams are going to sign up for that event because it's just one day and it's very little commitment. So we'll find that out. But so all in all, ladies, were you happy with the tournament? Did you any thoughts other than what we've spoken already?
It was great. It was great. It was absolutely a great time. And everyone on the team said they had such a great time.
That's nice. You know, and you really want to have that team coming for their first experience. Well, Key West, you really hope that those teams would have a wonderful experience. We've had teams, to be honest, where they did not have a good experience. And I remember a few of those times was because we had them in the wrong divisions and we didn't have this rule where we could bring down a team if they performed poorly. You know, we would always abide by whatever the schedule, whatever the structure format was. And, you know, I would just feel bad for these teams and hope that something would change on the field. And now that we have this new authority to bring up or bring down the teams, I think that's really going to help competition. But we blew a couple of teams off by not having a good seed. Listen, we have Sadia is on the chat room. She can't call in. She's written something, so I'm going to read from her, okay? It says, Sadia writes, I think 8-on-8 ineligible has a lot of potential to be more entertaining and more appealing to all types of football players. I think some rule changes would entice many more teams to come out. And she says, I also think the officiating can improve a lot. It will make it more professional. Well, you know, we had, and I agree with the second half, the officiating, we always struggle to get good officials in this tournament in Key West. I cannot believe that we had 6 officials, which meant that each crew stayed on the field for so many games, and that really tires officials. And we are always struggling to find good officials for our tournament. So what we need to do is the women need to learn how to officiate. And you know, in Scandinavia, this is what we do. We have the tournaments. We have a head official, that Bill Klitgaard. He's the head official over there. And then the players, when they're not playing, they officiate the tournament. And it works out really well. So Scandinavia, they're a little different in their culture. Ladies, Nance, Allison, Mia, Hillary, what do you think? You think these Americans could step up to the plate and offer fair officiating?
I think Rhode Island. Go on, Nance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, go ahead. You start.
I think the Rhode Island officials are phenomenal. I think they are so good. You know, I've played in college. I played 3 sports for 4 years, and I've seen every kind of officiating. I play basketball in basketball leagues. I played some field hockey, and you know, I still play some softball. And they get it right most of the time. You may not like the call, but they get it right almost all. I was so impressed with them. I was in P-Town, and this tournament, they were phenomenal. So I think the officiating, you know, a lot of people always have problems with the officials because you get a call that you think should have gone your way, and it doesn't go your way, and it costs you a touchdown. We had that happen. But, you know, it was a close call, and I said, you know, overall, yeah, you could call it that way. You could have called it for us. You could have called it against us and won against us. That's part of the game. I think they really work well as a team. I think they're some of the best officials I've seen in any sport. So I don't know how much better we would get.
Well, Okay, let me make my question a little bit more clear. Do you think in our tournaments we should ask each team to provide one player who, you know, we do it with the chain gang. By the way, that chain gang worked beautiful for this tournament. I like that. I like the way it works. The chain gang is you don't hold the chains during your own games, but usually after your game, three players hang out and just hold the chains for that game, and that it really worked out very well. But so we already have players on the team having to hold chains for the following game. Okay, what do you think if we made it a rule here in the these tournaments in the U.S. that each team should give us one player who would then officiate when they're not playing? Would it work?
No.
Mia, are you with us now, Mia? Mia, are you there online with us?
Yes.
Mia, what do you think? These guys, they don't think so. What's your thoughts about having this?
With the Chicago tournament coming up, I think it's going to be also a good opportunity for us to experiment a little bit with the referees. You know, we can't always bring referees from out of town to tournaments, and I don't think that it might necessarily be possible here in Chicago. So I think we need to come up with some way of training referees quickly so that they can we can pick them up wherever we take our tournaments, especially since we're planning on traveling. So I think instead of getting teams to volunteer a person to become a referee, we should focus on a quick way to train referees in each city to participate as IWFFA referees.
I agree.
You know, by the way, you know, our promotional tour, 2 months across the U.S., it's not just for players. We also train officials. So you know what we need to do then? We need to get the word out, start getting the word out now about our promotional tour and what we offer, because women's sports, we need more officials, good quality officials for our game. And I think it's a very different flavor when the guys officiate or when the women officiate. Actually, no, I take that back. No, I won't say that. But listen, I'm going to read something from Sadia. Sadia is on the chat board here, okay? And she says that, of course, it's part of the game, however, there were too many rules that were unclear among the crew, and it was unclear who was the head ref of the game. And she doesn't think the rule would fly with a lot of teams. All right. I guess she's talking about asking players to officiate in the tournament. And also, the first comment, she was in that higher division. You know, something I noticed with those higher division teams, you know, more highly competitive teams, they play, a lot of them are tackle players, and I think they, on the line action, there's a lot going on the line that you really, really have to pay close attention to. I think it could be a very rough game in that upper division. Would you say, ladies, or? Yeah. So, you know, those higher division, higher level games, the higher divisions, I think we probably should have a fourth official and really make sure that we get our top people up there. For the girls, it's easy. It's a piece of cake, you know. They're just so much fun, and it's a different level of play. But anyway, so it's interesting. So, Mia, you are back on the phone with us, and I would like for you and then Allison, if you would follow, why don't we tell a little bit about the tournaments that you're going to host, the dates and the cities. Mia, you want to go first?
Well, the dates I always forget, but it's in the end of June. It's going to be here in Chicago. I'm sure you have the dates handy. I always forget what they are.
It's the last weekend in June. It's over Pride weekend. I just had the first meeting with the CMSA official. CMSA is the Chicago Metropolitan Sports Association. They're the ones who usually run the tournament. It's their fourth year running the tournament, and they have so far only had it available to men. They've tried in the last 2 years to get the women's tournament going, but they have not been able to. Sean, the president of the CMSA league, asked me to organize the women's tournament, and I'm taking on a really, really big task. We're planning on hosting it right at the beach, at Foster Beach, for anybody who's familiar with Chicago. It's going to be very easy transportation to and from the Pride events during that weekend. And so far, we are planning on playing on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday we can go out and party.
Uh-huh. And the exact dates are June 25th, 26th, by the way, which I think is a great time of the year because teachers and students, they get their summer vacation then.
Yes, absolutely. And
so
the lakefront at that time of the year is just beautiful. It's very warm, and our beaches here are great. And Chicago, being one of the great cities in the country, has a lot to offer for everyone. So I think if we, you know, if we organize this tournament correctly and in a good fashion, we should have a really good event.
Okay. And it is going to be, now, the rules that you use over there, typically in the Midwest, they're slightly different than I would be able to say, right?
No, we play CMSA rules. So major differences is we have a three-second delay for rushing. We don't have kicking for extra points. Our fields are slightly smaller. And what else? I think that's we do. Our guards are eligible receivers. So those are the main differences in the rules.
Okay, so it's going to be interesting then bringing the IWFFA rules because of a few differences. But, you know, I say that, like years ago, we had a team from St. Louis. St. Louis Attitude and Mick Wright, they were really a great team. They played with many, many different rules. They would go to different tournaments across the U.S. and do very well. And I think that says a lot when you can be so flexible to play well with the different rules. I know, Allison, you said that Blue Wave A team was a very, very good team. They
well, even
very
their
well
B,
with
even
I
their
did, yeah,
yeah, their B team, too. Their B team was very good, very good. Very well coached, very disciplined. Definitely a good team. You know, I'd like to play them after we've been practicing for 3 months. I'd like to play them then.
Yeah.
That's, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd like another crack
so
at them.
Now listen, Allison, we'll let you have that crack, Adam. But why don't you tell us about your Flemington, your area. What is, you have your Power Time League out there.
They're very different. The Power Time League, we have an indoor facility, and we play indoors on a NFL turf field. And it's absolutely wonderful to do that because you never get rained out. And here in the Northeast with the weather and everything, it's really nice to have that. But we play 5-on-5 NFL rules, which is non-contact, 7 second. You have 7 seconds to throw the ball. You have a 10-yard rush. So you have to be your 10 yards back, and then you can rush from there. And everyone's an eligible receiver. So we play that.
Uh-huh.
But the tournament is going to be 8-on-8 IWFFA. We can have up to 3 fields at Hillcrest Park here. And the hotels are in the area, you know, they're all within like 5 miles of the field. So...
Uh-huh.
And as far as the extracurricular activities and all that, we'll still be working on that. But should be, you know, a lot of fun. I'm hoping that we'll get teams like Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., maybe Boston. And right here in New Jersey, we have our team. And I think Simone has been in contact with you, a tackle player who has a team who's looking to become a flag football team. So So, you know, I'm hoping that we'll get, you know, quite a few teams here to play, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I'm going to go to our chat room over here now. I'm excited about both those tournaments, Chicago and New Jersey, by the way. But now I'm going to go to the chat room here. And Julie has a question. It's so nice to have these Canadians, and they do speak English. She has about the rules, IWFFA rules, and she has explained that there was like a disagreement as to the spot of the ball. You know, in the IWFFA rules, technically, in the book, it says that where the ball is and the person is grabbed, it's the position of the ball that determines whether the scrimmage line is going to be, where the ball is going to be spotted. That's why a lot of our players will extend their arms just before the defender is about to grab their flags. Our runners, you know, they run with the ball extended, their arms extended, and to get that extra stretch, that extra few feet. I guess during this tournament, there might have been some misplacement of where the ball should be spotted. But, you know, all of our IWFFA rules, we ask teams and players to send us suggestions at the end of each year, and we're willing to modify them. As a matter of fact, it was the Canadians and the Scandinavians who had asked for that change in our rules about the kicks. You know, it used to be in our rules that you couldn't rush, and the defense team would just simply stand there, and it was boring. There was nothing for them to do, especially in Scandinavia. They're all soccer players. It was like an automatic extra point after they scored a touchdown. So they wanted something to change, and the Canadians then suggested about this the rush on the kicks. And then we thought, too, for the fake kicks to add an extra excitement. I think that rule is very exciting. I don't see it as dangerous, and I just want to encourage anyone who'd like any of our rules to be modified or changed to email our IWFFA office, and the email address is IWFFA@IWFFA.com. So did you have any problems, Allison or Hillary, with the position of the ball once the ball carrier was the flag?
Well, I always think we should get more yards than where they mark it, always. I always think especially when I'm running with the ball, I think I'm always further than they mark the ball. But no, I'm only kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought they did. I thought they did a great job. I really had no problems with the refs the whole tournament. I thought they did an excellent job.
Okay. Uh-huh. Hillary, are you still with us?
Yep, still here.
What did you think about where the referees position the ball?
I thought it was very fair. We didn't have any problems throughout the whole tournament with the placement at all. I think they were very fair, and they did a really good job.
Okay. And you know, too, what happens sometimes in these competitions, you get a bad call, or you get a bad, that can happen, too. But listen, now I'm going to go back to the chat room here. I'm reading from Sadia and Julie. And Sadia says she agrees about the spotting of the ball. In all honesty, if you allow that, then you should allow fumbles. I have to stop right there. I have to tell you, in our early years, we had onside kicks, and it was so bad, you know, because in that onside kick where it's a desperate situation, you do it towards the end of the game when you really, really need to gain possession of the ball. So you kick off, and we had a lot of players dive without any helmets, shoulder pads, and it seemed to cause a lot of injuries. Not only that for the onside kick, but just with fumbles many years ago, and I'm talking about over 30 years ago in the Long Island Women's Flag Football League, they too took out the fumble because, you know, some women will dive head first. So the fumble portion part of it, I would disagree with Sadia, but if Sadia really thinks that it would be great for the flag football, you know, we can all look at it and talk it, about it. But she writes more. She says, you know, in Montreal, if you're able to run with the ball extended, then the other team should be able to knock it out. That's interesting. And she says that in Montreal, 7-on-7 flag, if you run with the ball out like that, it's a penalty. Oh, okay. And Julie liked adding the rush. That was a great rule to add. Yeah, that's... okay, and then Sadia says here, well, if you keep reading my comment, fumble shouldn't be allowed without helmets and shoulder pads. Okay, all right, haha, keep reading. Okay, listen, you know, one other thing that we should all bear in mind, though, about these IWFFA rules, because we use sports to empower girls and women, we want them to learn skills on the field to transfer to other parts of their lives. And with the different rules that we've adopted for the IWFFA, like with the onside, with the, not onside, with the fake kick, defensive rush, field goals and all that stuff, you know, you really allow these athletes to develop specific skills like snapping that ball, et cetera, et cetera. You get the gist of what I'm saying, right, ladies? And so that's
Absolutely.
What I really love most about these 8-on-8 non-ineligible receiver. And I just for that aspect of it, you know, because then you can have different types of women on the playing field, very much a part of the game, contributing to the competition, you know. I think sometimes, you know, I'd love to get some feedback from these Canadians that's on our chat board, you know, on the sevens game to confirm if my statement earlier is correct, that to play a very competitive 7-on-7 game, you must really have excellent receivers and a quarterback with a strong arm.
You got
to
try 5-on-5.
Now. Say again? Oh, like 5-on-5, right.
Yeah, we play 5-on-5, and that's why, you know, I was very, very happy with the line we had, you know, both times, in both tournaments. But our typical players, you know, 5-on-5 is all speed. It's all speed. It's all, there's not much running because you can't block. You can't block at all. It's non-contact.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's set up by the NFL to teach running routes and throwing the ball. So, you know, most of the players in our league who play are small and fast.
Yeah. And so what about the heavy set player who can't keep pace with the other runners?
On 5-on-5, there's not much call for, you know. We do have some larger, you know, like Liz. Remember Liz? Aaron. Aaron's tall, but she's fast, and Liz is fast. You have to, you know, the people who are big in our league are also very quick because it's just a game of speed. Throw and catch.
Yeah.
With the 5-on-5. So, the 8-on-8, I really like the 8. I like both, but I like the 8-on-8 better. It's more like football.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It is more like football, but it's still, when you say football, it's the NFL that you're thinking about. And we got to remember something. That's part of our culture. You know, but I say that the flag football is very different than the tackle football because by the simple effect, you know, tackle, you take down your opponent. Flag, you grab the flag.
Well,
and
I'm talking about
two mentality.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, football. Like, I grew up playing two-hand touch.
And I, you know, that's what I've always played to Antouch because, you know, we didn't have flags, but the same difference. So to me, that's what reminds me of football is it's more like the two hand touch where, you know, people would rush you and you run around and, you know, you can do running plays here. You can do pass plays. You can do play action pass. You know, it brings in a few more football type things.
Yeah. Hey, Hillary, you're up there in Canada. You're over by Montreal, right?
I'm about 8 hours away from it.
Oh, so wait
I'm,
a second. That's like Key West in Orlando. did you play flag football before you came down 2 years ago? Did you play flag football up there in Canada where you are?
Yeah, we play it in the high school level. But it's like, it's basically a totally different game. Like, there's no rushing, there's no hitting, there's nothing. It's just seven girls, and you have like four receivers, two running backs, and a quarterback, and it was very different. Luckily, a lot of the girls that came down with us the first year had played rugby, so we were kind of ready for the contact, but it's very different.
Yeah. Okay, so. Do you think IWFFA would be successful up there in Canada? Do you think that some of those players would like to have this more contact-oriented game?
Yeah, definitely. I think that they would love it. Like, I think a lot of girls would probably switch over from rugby, or they would play it, like, at the same time, because I think that they would really enjoy having that contact and make it a little more intense of a game and I like it a lot better than the way we play it in the high school level.
You know, I don't think any athlete has to change from one sport to another. I think, I think it behooves the athlete to play as many different sports. When I was younger, you know, I played rugby and flag and softball, and I was a runner. And at that time, I was doing all four. And in that stage of my life, all of those sports really enhanced me for each competition, you know. And so I don't like to take players away from, like, let the rugby players continue to play rugby. But, you know, you could play your rugby games on Saturdays and join us Sunday for flag football or for any other sport, you know. You don't really have to convert one sport to another just to play with us anyway. You know, I would like to encourage athletes to play as many different sports as possible. Now, Mia, you're with us still, right, Mia?
Yes, here I am.
Okay. And you're doing some action here on the chat room. These, Sadia and Julie are going at it, and I don't know if they're starting to write in French or what, but... okay, they're writing in French. Anyway, Mia, you did a wonderful service throughout the tournament. I want to thank you very much. Mia was a massage therapist, and she gave massages away for free. And, boy, Mia, you were really massaging a lot of players, weren't you? They were.
I really was. And I'm really paying for it now. My back is really killing me.
Oh, poor Mia. You mean like you really, really overextended yourself, huh?
I really did. And that's one of the reasons why I hope that in the future we can add massages. As you know, Diane, it's a very good thing to have during physical activity, like a long tournament like this. So I really hope that... you know, for upcoming tournaments, we can include not one, but maybe two or three therapists. It's something that I think would really benefit the players. And there's always therapists in the area who are looking, you know, for a little work so they can promote themselves. So I don't think it should be too difficult to find people who can help us out with that.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And I know that those women, those teams, they were lining up for you to massage them, that they really, really were grateful and dependent on you making their bodies better because, you know, after 4 days of competition, it's It's grueling for the body. So, listen, ladies, we just have 6 minutes left. And I want to tell our listeners also, it's not just New Jersey and Chicago that we've added tournaments to our IWFFA Circuit of Tournaments. We also have a tournament in Montreal, Canada. And that's hosted by the Montreal Rebels, and that's going to be August 13th to the 14th. You know what? Let me just go down the list about tournaments. Our next tournament coming up is going to be in Reading, New Jersey. It's one day, hosted by New Jersey Power Time. We will see what kind of teams we attract, and I would think the Northeast teams, but we'll see. And it's up there on our website.
But everyone's welcome.
But everyone's welcome. Exactly, exactly. How many fields do you have out there, Allison?
We can have three at once.
Three fields at once? Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Okay, so then we have our IWFFA sanction, Reading, New Jersey, May 21st, 22nd. We have Joring, Denmark. You know, if the American teams could consider traveling to Scandinavia, that is a phenomenal experience. They'll pick you up at the airport. They'll host you in their houses. You don't have to pay to stay in a hotel, and they will treat you like your family, and you play in these tournaments that are really very wonderful. They have, like, their social event is Saturday night they'll have a pasta dinner, and it costs like $5, and all the teams sit down and eat together. That's really very cozy and lovely, those Scandinavian tournaments. So that's happening June 10th to the 12th. We have our first annual Chicago Pride Bowl, June 25th to the 26th. Then we have in Oslo, Norway, our 12th annual, July 1st to the 3rd. That's going to coincide with the 4th of July. You know, you have a lot of Americans in Norway, and all these Scandinavians speak English. The next tournament is Montreal, Canada. Not all of them speak English. I learned tonight, but I think enough speak English that you'll have no problem traveling to Montreal, Canada. It is lovely up there, too. You know, we brought back this Montreal, Canada to the IWFFA Circuit of Tournaments. It's just breathtaking up there, and this is hosted by Montreal Rebels. And Stephanie Vignault, oh, my God, she is a Porter Wilson recipient. She has started a league up there with 5 teams, which now expanded to 55 teams. So she is, and she's on our committee, and kudos to Steph and for hosting the Montreal Canada tournament. Then we have Gothenburg, Sweden, September 2nd to the 4th. We'll have our 11th annual. We come back to the U.S., P-Town Classic, our 6th annual, and that is a very fun town, smaller than Key West, and we could take 8 teams, no more. And we have also Mexico City. In Mexico, October 8th to the 9th. Now, listen, that tournament in Mexico City, they're going to offer package deals to the teams and the players, and it's going to be very affordable, and they have guaranteed that they will have at least 10 Mexican teams. So we should tell this to Nance Werns, that she'll have 10 teams to choose from because she played with the Mexican teams during our Key West tournament. So, ladies, what do you think? We have... We have just 2 minutes left. Ladies, any last minute thoughts, last second thoughts you'd like to share on air with everyone? Okay, I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Allison Wood, Mia from Chicago, Hillary Sinclair, Nance Werns, our Canadians who were on the chat board. And to all the listeners, every third Thursday of the month at 9 p.m. Eastern is our IWFFA On Air with Radio, On Air with the IWFFA. We have our 2-month promotional tour. This spring, summer, we will come to your city and offer training for your players and officials and coaching clinics. We'll help you start new teams and leagues and build up your existing league. And we have all these tournaments that I've just mentioned, and I just want to thank everybody. Listen, the 20th annual Kelly McGillis Classic was a huge success. I want to thank all those teams who came to participate, all their team captains or managers who registered the team. That was that takes a lot of work. And I want to thank fans tonight here on Women's Radio and everybody just have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next month, the third Thursday, and our website is IWFFA.com. If you'd like to contact us, email address is IWFFA@IWFFA.com. Have a good one.